A Private Time. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a private time. This is Instant Illumination. This morning I was speaking with a lady on the phone, and we were talking about the time she spends with her son and how they have such a good talk, and that she goes into his room, he's a teenager, and she sits there and talks with him about his life and his affairs. And then he will come and sit on the edge of her bed and talk to her about his life and times, about what's going on. They'll be sitting in the breakfast table, and they'll be talking about life and times. They'll be sitting at in the couch in the living room. They'll be talking about life and times. But you see, it's all a wrong talk about the wrong life and times. Now, why is it the wrong talk and the wrong life and times? Because everything is a dedicated situation. The bedroom is his bedroom, and her bedroom is her bedroom. The living room is their living room. The kitchen table is their kitchen table. I said, have you ever thought of taking special time to be with him? Oh, I do that all the time. Did you ever decide to just go for a walk in the park where nobody you'll greet, and nobody will be there except just you and your son, and you'll just have a great old time? Well, that takes walking. And you're a physical therapist, Sheriff, and you don't want to get out and walk? My goodness sakes, you sound like everybody else. Now, you start taking walks in the park with your son, and take the cat on a leash, because that's totally incongruous for you to do. And giggle about taking the cat on the leash as you walk through the park. And as you walk through the park, watch how the cat grabs at the leaves of at the grass, at the little sticks of grass, and watch as the cat sees to climb up a tree, or as the cat sees to do this and that. But it's on the leash. That's right. So you have to run out there and be with it, you know. And what you want to do is to be with your son and be as silly as you can. Now, lovingly silly, but just do silly things. And just all of a sudden, lay down in the grass and roll over, like the cat. And your son will say, Mom, you lost your marbles? And of course, after you do it once or twice, your son will join you in doing it. He'll say, hey, this is fun. And you say, well, son, you are so precious. You are so wonderful. I am so happy with you. And he says, naturally, I'm your son. And you say, of course. And you talk silly stuff to each other. And as you talk silly stuff to each other, before you know it, a barrier is broken down that you didn't even know existed. And that barrier is how to be one with each other, to be silly together, to do things together and just have a good time and not expect anything out of each other, just to be silly together. Now, just stop and think, you silly lady, I said to her. Stop and think. When you were a teenager and you went out with your first boyfriend, what were the things you did together? You did silly stuff. You talked silly stuff. And you talked girl stuff and he pretended he was interested. He talked boy stuff and you pretended you were interested. You were just being silly together. And you built up a lovely relationship. You didn't have a relationship where you possessed each other. You didn't have a relationship where you were steadies and going out together with each other. You just had a relationship of being silly together, of having fun together. And before you knew it, you just looked forward to the moment that you spent with each other. Not that there's anything coming out of it, but you just felt good in each other's presence because you could each be yourself and be silly. And the sillier, the better. And if he was sort of a silly goose, you didn't say, oh, you silly goose, you know, why don't you act your age? Why don't you grow up? You tried to be as silly as he was. And then he tried to be sillier. And then both of you tried to be real silly and silly. And if anyone came along and saw you, they would think you were absolutely berserk. absolutely out of it. But hey, that's where it's all at. That's where it's all at. The joy of sharing and being and enjoying one another's company. This is what a mother and daughter, a mother and son, and a father and son and daughter, they miss with each other. They think they have to put on that very severe, that very sedate, that very mature attitude, you know, I can't act silly in front of my child. Well, let your child come in sometime when you're at a party and you had a few drinks and you're acting silly. And they'll say, ah, that's just my dad. He gets a few drinks, he acts silly. Well, act silly without a few drinks. Act silly without having to have alcohol, without having to have something to prompt you, because your heart says, let be yourself. And that's who you are. I always contend that people who are drunk are their real self. And their inhibited self is the self that they are every day. Now, wouldn't it be nice if our inhibited self and our real self were the same thing? Wouldn't that be nice?
It is the same, man.
Thank you very much. Wouldn't that be nice if that were true? But it's not true, because we inhibit ourselves from being our real self. We keep ourselves from being our real self, and instead of saying, oh, you're wonderful, oh, you're fantastic, oh, I love you, we say, you are very nice. Thank you for the flowers. And you would say, oh, wonderful flowers, my gosh, you just made my day with that flowers. Wow! You know, we have to be sedate. Oh, thank you for the flowers. You know, and we think, like, my goodness sakes, I should have stayed home in bed. You know, all that enthusiasm is just overwhelming. But you see, this is what a mother and child want to have together. And they can't have it in the bedroom, because that's his room or her room or their room, and there is where their toys are and their things are. You got to get on a neutral turf, where you get out in the field and you get out in the woods, and you go out. And for instance, now Ingeborg, our wonderful, dedicated, silly Ingeborg. Ingeborg is so silly. We have little chunks, little piles of wood all over the property, you know, that have been broken down and that have been laying there in perfect firewood, perfect shape, perfect length and everything. But Ingeborg, she's got to go where it's going to do some good to pick up the wood. She's got to go where there's wood that is lying in the way, where it has fallen out of the tree or something. I mean, she's silly. She's an absolutely silly goose. And so she goes after this wood, and she picks it up. And then sometimes she has the children with her. Sometimes when we have visiting children, they go with her, and they pick up wood. And she's doing these things. Now, the children like to pick up big sticks, because if they pick up a big stick, they have picked up five or six lengths of what she picks up of the little sticks. But she picks up the little sticks because she likes to have them already fit the size of the fireplace. And then she says to them, okay, now you got to bust them. What? Why do you think I pick up the little sticks? Because trying to bust those big sticks can be tough. Mm-hmm. And especially the drier they are, the tougher they are. And the kids say, hey, you're not such a silly old goose after all. You know, you're a pretty smart old lady. You know, for someone your age, you're pretty smart, you know. You haven't forgotten how to do these things. And she says, and you haven't either. She right away turns the compliment back around if she's smart, because then she'll have the best helpers in the world to pick up the sticks around the property. But you see, when you play the game, you can't have any rules to it. You got to just flow with it. You just got to do what is natural and do what is right and do what is good. You got to move into the area of being happy. Move into the area of following your heart. And this is what, I take the kids to the sand dunes, the big kids and the little kids, and I roll down the sand dune. You know, here I am, an adult father, you know, rolling down the sand dune and getting sand in my pants and my shirt and my face and my hair and my everything, you know. And then I stand up and shake and, you know, try to get it all off. And the kids say, oh, that sounds, looks like such fun. That looks like such fun. Then they roll down. Hey, that's kind of gritty. But They don't think that after a while. They think it's fun. You see, the more you do it, the more fun it is. If you're an observer, you observe all of the reasons why you don't do it. Because you get all full of sand and you get sand in your face and stuff. But this is the fun of being a parent. Being a parent, you just do what the kids want to do. I oftentimes took my son with me on our motor scooter, and I'd be going out shooting feature stories about farms or about the countryside. And we would see this big canal for bringing water to the farmers' irrigation ditches, and we would stop. And he was maybe 8 years old, 9 years old, yeah, about that. And so we'd stop and look at it. And so he'd throw sticks in there. And I'd always have to be careful that he didn't throw himself in there. It could carry him pretty quickly. And I never thought that. I always thought, he always is doing the right thing. And I said, now stand back here and throw your sticks in there. I want to go up close. Well, you go up close, and then you kick a lot of dirt in there, and then it makes the irrigation water dirty for the farmers. Oh, okay. You know, don't go close. You fall in, you might hurt. You know, keep nice and clean for the farmers, you know. And that he understood. And he was always interested in doing things never good for everybody else, you know, because that's what I was teaching him constantly. Not really making a big deal about it, but just saying, hey, you know. And that was my way of sharing with him how to stay away from danger, him, without calling it danger. And we had great times together. And occasionally I'd let him take the pictures. Well, he did some good pictures, I tell you. He had some angles that I would have never thought of taking. And it turned out rather nice, you know. And it was, hey, that's interesting, you know. The swiftness of the current along the edge of the canal, and it was just really wonderful. But you see, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. My family and I, we used to jump in the car every weekend we could, and we'd dash up to Yosemite National Park or wherever there was a park around, Merced Park, and we'd go there and have our picnic and camp out and put up our tent. A lot of bother. We had nice beds at home and nice nice kitchen sink and stuff at home, and we'd go out there and have fun. And we did. And everything we did was so wonderful. And we had a little dog, little miniature-type dog, a terrier, and Whiskers was her name. And she went with us everywhere. And no matter what we did, she didn't have to be on the leash, she was always right on our heels. And right, everything we did, and we were out in Joshua Tree National Monument, and we were jumping off the big rocks, and she was smart. She walked down the side. We jumped, but she walked down the side because she was much smaller than we were. And we just had such fun with her. Now, Mark learned about working with dogs, believing in the dog, trusting the dog, expecting the dog to cooperate, and the dog did cooperate. I think that if parents or anybody really wants to have a relationship with another person, take them out in the woods. Sounds interesting. Take them out in the park. Take them out away from normal things where you have normal expectations. Don't take them in the bedroom. Don't take them in the living room. Don't take them here or there. Go out. Go away from the family. Go away. Be by yourself. Be in your own new environment that you have created for yourself. You know, stop and think once. Why did the pioneers want to come west? Because they wanted to leave the east behind them. They wanted to leave mama and daddy behind them. They wanted to leave all of the traditions behind them. And yet they brought traditions with them. But they wanted to have that freedom of spirit in the new land, in the new area. And together they grew. And their marriages were probably stronger than anything could ever be, because they only had each other. and they enjoyed each other's company. And if they were good people, they were good people. If they were bad people, they were bad people. But I like to think that the world was filled with good people. And that's why the world today has so many wonderful people doing wonderful things in a wonderful way. Raising children is fun. That's like raising each other. So have fun, enjoy yourself, and do everything that makes you happy, because that's all that life's all about. Know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.